Almighty and eternal God, give us a will ever dedicated to you and a true heart to serve your majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A question for everybody here. Do you happen to know the oldest building in the city of Milwaukee? Or perhaps even, do you happen to know when that building was built? Now, you're probably scrambling, thinking, where have I seen old buildings in the city? But what if I told you the oldest building in Milwaukee was actually built in 1420, 72 years before the arrival of Columbus? Now you would be definitely thinking some sort of Indian hut or something like that, but you're wrong. You see, the oldest building in the city of Milwaukee is actually a stone chapel. A stone chapel located on Marquette University. It was built in France in the year 1420. And that chapel is not just an old chapel that a rich, devout woman brought over here because she simply liked it, but it is a very special chapel, and if you ever have the opportunity to go and visit it, you should. It's a small little thing, but it has a very intimate history with tomorrow's saint, Saint Joan of Arc. Saint Joan of Arc was born a very devout Catholic family, into a very devout Catholic family. And from her very youth, she regularly would make visits to the community, the church in her village where she lived. And she and her sister would go during the daytime and stop by, and they were particularly devoted to coming and lighting candles before the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary and praying to her on a daily basis for all the guidance that they needed in their lives. Certainly a good practice for all. But Saint Joan of Arc, her guidance came in a way that she least expected of it. In fact, it came from heaven directly to her via Saint Michael the Archangel and a couple of other saints that came and spoke to her. And the message they conveyed was one that was seemingly impossible for this young teenage girl to be able to fulfill. For her to go and to be able to assist in saving France from the English and restoring the king to be rightfully crowned at Reims. Now, being just a 15-year-old girl, she had no idea how to go about this. But she prayed, and in time she understood that she had to go and find the Dauphin, the nickname for the king, King Charles at the time, was, and tell him that they needed to fight and drive the English back so they could reclaim the area of Reims where he were to be crowned, and that he should take his rightful spot as King of France, because being vacated by him in that visible sense, it was under risk of being usurped. And so she would go, and she found out, she traveled to Orléans, where he was hiding out, the king that is, and she began to talk to some of the guards around him. And yet nobody would let her in. Nobody believed her story, this young girl, that she had visions from heaven and that she was to come and help out the king. She persevered, though, continuing to pray, continuing to ask heaven to assist her, until finally she found a sympathetic ear, and the message was conveyed to Charles. Charles, in turn, he had enough information to tend to believe that this girl really did hear voices from heaven, and that she perhaps was inspired to see him. But he wasn't 100% sure, so he was going to put it to the test. He told the one of his assistants to go and tell Joan that she should come back and he would grant her an audience. This is after she was trying to meet him for over a year at this point in time. And that in meeting him, she can come and see him, but on a certain day at a certain time. And so Joan comes to the castle and comes into this room that is filled with all of these people. And there's a man sitting on a throne with the crown and all of the royal garments on and everything like that. And she arrives and she looks. And despite never having seen the Dauphin before, she immediately turns away from the man sitting in the throne and looks amongst the crowd of people dressed in ordinary garb and points out the Dauphin there and comes and greets him. He was in hiding, and now he knew that this young girl truly carried a message from heaven. Having finally met with him and convinced him that they did indeed need to prepare to go to battle at Orléans, she was, and that he needed to be crowned in Rheims, it was to the little chapel that now resides in Milwaukee that St. Joan of Arc returned and prayed and gave thanks to Our Lady for having been successful in meeting the Dauphin. In that chapel, it's not simply the chapel where she prayed either. There's also an added relic there, a relic that wasn't part of the original structure, but now sits cemented into the wall of the chapel at the rear behind where the altar would have been. It's another piece of stone. And this stone also was important in the life of St. Joan of Arc. The same woman who brought over the chapel found this great relic, which was a stone in which St. Joan of Arc knelt on to pray before she went into that battle at Orléans, where she was ultimately, with the soldiers of France and the king, successful in driving back the English and having the Dauphin actually rightfully crowned as King of France. She prayed on this stone and asked Our Lady for success and protection in the battle. And then, having finished her prayer, she knelt down and kissed the stone. This relic, which was left from a different chapel, was then taken by the woman there, also from France, and brought to the United States, cemented into the wall, and if you go and you touch the stone, you can notice that it is remarkably colder than all of the rest of the stones around it. Now, I tell you all of this not because simply, we have a great treasure and great relic here in the city of Milwaukee, although that is certainly part of it. Like I said, you should go and visit it. It's really wonderful. However, I do it because it's the connection of tomorrow's feast of St. Joan of Arc with what we celebrate today in the May crowning and the 31st of May with the queenship of Mary. Joan of Arc, her whole entire life mission as a saint was for the restoration of the king in France. So how did she go about it? She didn't simply just rely on her own tact to be able to convince the king that it was a good idea for him to wage war against the English, drive them back, and be crowned in Rheims. No, she turned to the Queen of Heaven in order to convince the king of his duty. To restore the kingdom of France, she turned to that queen who has influence over all, and through whose hands graces flow to the earth to be able to lead us towards what is true and right and good. And so, in that faithful prayer to Our Lady, she was successful in that job. But it was a prayer that was long enduring. As I said, a year long it took before she was finally admitted to see the Dauphin, where she prayed. Afterwards, many days, every single day, going and praying for continued guidance from heaven, always turning to Mary to do so. And when it came time to fight, there she found the courage and the guidance and the knowledge of what to do, despite having no knowledge of military strategics. Mary truly led Joan, and Joan restored the crown to France. We crown the statue of Our Lady today, not because we need a French king to come into the United States. It's probably not really at all what we need. But we crown Our Lady because we need the King of Kings for our society. Never before have we been so desperate in need to restore the rightful place of Christ as King. And it's not something that's a mere sentiment, but rather a real right that he has that is ignored by so much of society today, a right that has influence on man to do good, but which is turned away from by most everybody. When you look around and you see the darkness in the world today, it is because of a lack of giving that right to the heavenly King. It is because man has no interest anymore in practicing virtue. It is because faith, in the eyes of man, is mere fantasy. It is because justice no longer prevails, but rather an immediate seizing greedily of whatever one can. It is that truth has no seat any longer in society, but rather the most absurd things are passed by as true, and those who dare to utter real truth are looked at as crazy. All of these things and more are a byproduct of a man who no longer needs God, who no longer wants that king, who no longer subjects himself to anybody in any way. And in doing so, he makes himself a slave to his base passions and to the most corrupt of individuals to guide him. But we, the faithful, we know better. We need that king more than ever before. And so how does his kingship reign? It comes from those simple good actions we just spoke of. Virtue, truth, faith, justice. How does man rise up against the darkness to do so? It is not merely by his own actions alone, but by grace itself. How does one reclaim a crown for a king? But through the intercession of the all-powerful queen. How does that grace flow to us, but from her hands? And so when we look to try to figure out a way in which we can do good for our society, in which we can gain back ground for the church and for the faith and for truth and goodness and virtue, the place that we must look to is Our Lady. When we try to figure out what our primary action should be in this life, it has to start not picking up the sword for battle. That time may come, but rather picking up the great weapon of the rosary into our hands and falling upon our knees and begging heaven for its assistance. There, we find true success, true inspiration, true guidance, true strength, and a great wellspring of grace to be successful in what, from the outset, seems impossible. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.